Hello, everybody. Welcome again to where Genealogy and Spirit connect. It's another Tuesday morning, and very excited about today's show. One of the things that I have always wished is that when I got involved in genealogy some 27 years ago, that I would have been a lot younger than my 30 some odd years that I was. And the reason is that the information and the way I started to perceive the world after starting into this modality was just so very, very different. I've always harped on the fact that genealogy is more than just names, dates, and places. And it was really until I got into genealogy that I started to understand geography in a whole different level, and I started to understand socio-political factors that were going on in the world. And it was really the first time that I really had an interest in history. So all these things that I studied throughout school that made absolutely nothing to me at the time all of a sudden became very, very important. And that's why the show today is really on the benefits of genealogy for kids. My guest today is someone who's been in the field for quite some time. He's written books and magazines for children, parents, and teachers on the subject of genealogy. His most recent book is called Climbing Your Family Tree, Online and Offline Genealogy for Kids. His name is Ira Wolfman, actually, and he is a writer, editor, publishing consultant, and genealogy enthusiast. And we go back many years, do we not, Ira?
We do, Susan. That's true.
It is. How in the world did you become interested in the concept of genealogy for kids?
Well, yeah, on the one hand, I'd always been interested in history, unlike many kids, as you said. But I think I had been doing some research. I'm a writer, and I've been doing some research at the New York Public Library. And I came across a flyer for a genealogy workshop that was being given for beginners. And it appealed to me. So the first hook for me was, gee, you know, my parents are getting older. My grandparents are gone. I'd like to know a little bit about tracing my own history. And then as I started doing my own research, in fact, as I went to workshops and saw the amazingly exciting things that people were pulling out from the past, it astonished me. You know, this is the boat my grandfather came over on. This is his boat manifest. It's a picture taken by U.S. Reconnaissance bombers during World War II that showed where my grandfather's house was. I really became an advocate. And what I found was that genealogy was a tool for kids that was not being used. You know, that for the most part, the only thing that people would do is they would occasionally in school have to do a family tree. But people really didn't, you know, all the genealogy meetings I went to were filled with people in their 40s, 50s, and older. And it just seemed to me there was a real opportunity to bring the excitement of this stuff to kids. I then was lucky enough to back up with a publisher, Workman Publishing, and they were interested in doing a guidebook. The rest of it is genealogy.
You know, it is so interesting because, you know, I have always felt the same way that you do. Because, you know, wouldn't you say, too, that if children were introduced to their own family histories, perhaps in religious schools and or in their regular parochial and private and public school systems, that as they shared information with each other and understood more about the backgrounds of their classmates, that it could bridge a major understanding and tolerance level amongst peoples.
I think that's really true. You know, when we get interested in genealogy, when I got interested in genealogy, the world opened up to me. History suddenly made sense in a very different way, and I think that I also understood how everybody else out there had these kind of stories. You know, Alex Haley's roots obviously opened up Americans to the idea that African Americans did have a long, proud history. And I think the understanding that comes out of that is something as adults we see. But the point is really true that for kids, and especially in our country today, you know, the diversity of the United States in 2009 is so different than it was when I was growing up in the 60s. you know, where we were still in many ways a homogeneous society. Now we have people from all over the world in our schools, in our society. And I think for kids to understand that, you know, we all come from this long, fascinating, involved history, and we all overlap in so many ways. I very much agree with you that it's a tool for connecting people. And why deprive kids of that tool? Why wait until, you know, you're in your older years? Why not begin at the beginning?
You know, I agree. And I mean, have you, done any research on why the school systems in our country, fail to do that? I mean, you and I both know, that in Israel that 7th and 8th graders, it's one of their major projects is to do their family histories. And, you know, why, you know, has there been any research done on why our school systems just seem to ignore this modality?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I think that there is one thing I can tell you is many kids come across a family tree project at some point. But I think a lot of teachers are also very nervous about it, again, especially now, because there are so many different kinds of families, and when you use a standard pedigree chart, you end up with some families that are upset, you know, parents who say, you know, I'm in a divorced family, or I adopted my child, or whatever. So I think that there's some nervousness about privacy, but at the same time, there are ways to do this. I've spoken to hundreds and hundreds of kids in schools, and in bookstores, and in, you know, religious institutions, kids get very excited about this. So there are ways, there must be ways, that schools can use this. And the great thing, again, is, as you were saying, it opens up all these other academic fields in ways suddenly the kids understand, oh, geography, oh, that's where Europe is, oh, that's where, you know, that part of Africa is. And they understand the fact that history is not just a story about some people a long time ago. My family was part of it. I mean, that to me is so powerful. When you read about immigration, it doesn't mean much, maybe. When you read about the fact that my grandfather traveled, you know, by foot to Minsk from the town he was living in outside of there, took a train, took another train, got to a port, you know, it becomes the story of human beings experiencing the world rather than an abstract tale of masses of people. So it's a very powerful tool for schools, and we should see it used increasingly.
I would suspect, too. I mean, I could just imagine that, you know, if part of their project, you know, for a year was to do research and on their families and, you know, take their, you know, going backwards in time and using those genealogies to have programs on different time periods and, you know, who was living part of their family members that were living during these time periods, and where were they living,
right,
and what was going on,
right,
and, you know, it would just seem to me such a, you know, a powerful, powerful, powerful tool. And the other thing, and I bet you will share this with me too, is that the more I delved into my family, the more I started learning about myself. And,
absolutely,
I mean, it just opened up a whole new perspective of life and other people and, you know, my family and why my mother did the things that she did to me, quote unquote. And, you know, being, I mean, we all go through that. I mean, as kids, we all blame our parents for certain things that happen to us or, you know, that they may do something that hurt our feelings and how could they do this to us? When in fact, so much of what they do is really determined by how their parents treated them. And if you take the whole genealogies back and, you know, kids could say, well, you know, now I might understand why my mother, you know, feels this way about certain things because, you know, her mother felt this way about certain things. And you keep going back and you understand a little bit more about the things that prompt people to do certain things, which as a kid you don't quite understand. But to me, it certainly opens up so many levels of opportunities for understanding and forgiveness. Now, you know, when you mentioned that when you go and you speak to kids that they seem to have an interest, why do you think They do. I mean, and what do you think is the thing that sparks the interest in these kids on a basis of getting involved? I mean, have you been able to determine what that interest level really stems from?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that I have found is an incredible tool for exciting kids. You know, I wrote Climbing Your Family Tree. The idea was this is an active experience. You're really going to track down things and climb up and find them. But what I found totally turned kids on in this country is the idea that, what I say is, you know, you brought your ancestors with you here today. And I say they're actually telling you secrets or stories, in many cases, about who you are, where you came from, where they live, because your last name has meaning. And, you know, because we live in a country where, for so many people, our names are derived from other languages, you know, because we're an immigrant nation, kids
right.
have no idea. And when I say, is there anybody here named Smith? And in most cases, you get somebody. Or is there anybody here with an Italian last name, Ferraro? Or is there anybody here named Kovacs? And I say, you know what, you guys all have a name that says the same thing, which is you had an ancestor, very good chance anyway, and of course names do change, but you had an ancestor who worked in metal, and that person was very important. And kids go, what? And then you start explaining the way names came about and how our names are a piece of our own personal history. And I have a dictionary in the back of Climbing Your Family Tree that gives, I don't know, 400 names and what they mean. Kids go wild. You know, they're just, they want to know what their name means, what their, you know, cousin's name means, what their friend's names mean. They're really excited. And it takes, you know, what's really a sound that has no meaning to anybody and turns it into a key, a clue, a mystery. You know, I use the term ancestor detector a lot in the book. Because I think that's really what excites kids. This is a mystery. You are a mystery. You're the sum of all these ancestors who came before you, as you said, our traits, our attitudes, so many things about ourselves and the people around us come from the people who came before us. And it's a mystery to be unraveled, and you're at the center. All of those ancestors add up to you. So I think that gets kids very interested. I think they're intrigued by the idea that there's this mystery, that their names are part of it, and that there are so many other clues scattered around the world in papers and, of course, on the Internet, which virtually every kid today loves and every kid today, you know, wants to navigate, makes it that much more appealing.
And, you know, you mentioned I go through this every week. I get a fleeting thought, and it just escapes me. It's turning into a regular event, which is beginning to make me a little nervous.
It's a genealogical moment? What is it?
Oh, I don't know what it is. I do know what I was getting ready to say. You and I first started out in genealogy, or I did at least, you know, 20-some-odd years ago, too, you know, we never thought of science as part of the genealogy
right.
modality.
Right.
But, you know, since the early 2000s now, you know, DNA and DNA testing and
absolutely.
The science of has become a whole new approach to genealogy, too, that can be embraced as well through education of kids. And understanding, because I mean, at the end of the day, you know, when you start doing DNA testing, I mean, there are only, you know, there are a lot fewer haplogroups that people can fall into than there
right.
are types of people. And if you really go back, you begin to see very clearly through the yeah, the scientific means that we really all came from the same source. And
right.
that there's very little that differentiates us, you know, in today's world from, you know, like we might have thought it did. So that
yeah.
was really where I was headed with that, now that I can remember. So, you know, have these presentations with the children. Are their parents involved with you too?
It depends. I mean, basically, you know, there are two tracks, because on the one hand, I like to talk to kids and just, you know, get it direct to the kids and get their energy and excitement. The other piece of my mission in genealogy is to really say to the parents, this is important. If you're interested, your listeners, if you're interested in genealogy, don't just keep it to yourself, you know, because there's so much value in involving your children. And we've talked already about a few of those things, but there is something that is really important that, and the world has changed. 20 years ago, again, when you and I were first starting out, you had to go to, you know, archives, and you had to send letters, and you had to spend all this time, and it was, you know, time, it was dusty, and it was, you had to be committed. Now, if you know how to navigate the web, there are a thousand ways to make connections. You know, we used to write letters to potential relatives, and we would wait weeks, and then maybe something would show up. Now you can find names so much more easily. You know, there's so much that kids can do instinctively. These are digital natives. These are kids who grew up with information everywhere, and they understand it. So it's, on the one hand, I think it's something that has more appeal than ever to kids. When you talk about the scientific changes and everything, it also makes me wonder, where will genealogy be in 10 years? Because with all that's changing in the world, with all the genetic research, with all the information that's coming out, with, you know, the testing, it seems like we will know so much more quickly. And, you know, again, kids living in this world of information will know how to navigate it. So let's get them involved in the beginning. The other thing I think is really important is the person-to-person benefits, you know, the interviews. Talking, when I read about my grandfather, let alone interviewing, when I read about my grandfather and realized he was an 18-year-old boy who had to make this incredible step of leaving his village, finding the money somehow to go to this country that he had, you know, he had no relatives in, making this long journey, saying goodbye to all these relatives he never saw again, you know, it humanized the old man that I knew, and it made me realize that, as for most kids, it seems it's difficult to understand, that adults are not born at age 40, you know, that we all start out as kids who have the same aspirations, dreams, difficulties, and so A, that opens up a whole new way of looking at people, and B, when you have those interviews, which are so important, when you have a kid sit down, and one of the things I say in Climbing Your Family Tree is, don't let your parents take over the interview. You know, the kid is empowered. When you say to your 12-year-old, why don't you go interview Uncle Jack? And he sits down and he does the interview and he's asking the questions. The adult is being interviewed. The kid has a lot of power. And don't let your mother say, well, ask Jack about this. Leave the child. I say to this to both the parents, leave the child in charge, because it's an incredible exchange of emotional feelings as well as information that goes on. And again, it just opens your eyes as a child to the fact that, you know, where do adults come from? You know, what were their lives like when they were young? And I think it's a very special conversation. I had a great aunt. She was the last remaining member of that generation. My grandmother and grandfather were both dead, both grandparents on both sides. I had an aunt who looked a lot like my grandmother and with whom I sat down when she was 90 years old and had an incredible conversation. You know, the connection I felt, I ended up actually naming my youngest son after Tanta Blima. His name is not Blima, but there was a connection there that was made because my wife said to me, you clearly love her. And I said, well, you know, I understood her because I had these conversations with her that I'd never really had with my other grandparents. I was too young and not as aware. So that is just so crucial to connect the generations. And, you know, they do say that grandparents and grandchildren have a common enemy, which makes them closer. I don't know. But, you know, there is a special connection between them. And I think allowing for that to flow unhampered is a wonderful thing. And I would encourage every parent to think about unleashing their children on those relatives and letting them do the talking themselves.
Because it really does. It does bring the family together. And in some cases, it can bridge family differences that may exist between, you know, their parents and the parents' siblings, for example, or
yep.
whatever, the parents and their parents. And, you know, as you mentioned just now, that, you know, the common enemy, you know, unleashing a kid, you know, between the two may have a lot more power in bridging, you know, some further understanding between those two parties than may heretofore have been experienced, perhaps.
And, you know, Susan, your point about how It's not about names and statistics and birth numbers and death records. It's really, it's about the fabric of life. It's about the texture and the experiences. And what, when my Leva said to me, my great aunt said, you know, I lived in a little hut with a dirt floor, and we sold beer out the back door to, you know, the people in the village, and I would go swimming on, you know, in the summer on the river which ran right behind my house. That meant so, that created such a feeling of connection between us. That's a lot different than, you know, what was your great-great-grandfather's name and where was he born? And that's what comes out of these, that's the real goal of these kinds of conversations. Tell me what your life felt like. What was your life like as a child? What was the neighborhood like? What were your parents like? Those kinds of questions yield wonderful information. And again, when you're going cross-generational, it just opens up a whole new vision of who those people are. And I think it does bring the family closer together. And there are so many other things. You know, you bring out the pictures. You tell the stories. You sing the songs. So suddenly the family, I'm part of a family that has all this rich culture. You know, it's not just my annoying mother and father who tell me, turn down the iPod because it's ruining your ears. You know, there's something going on here about our family that is so interesting, connected to the world and full of fabulous details and rich stories.
And you know what is so interesting, and really the whole point of my new mission here in life is with my new website and this radio show and my column about where genealogy and spirit connect, is that it really is a spiritual journey. And it, there are even many adults who do genealogy who are really just after those people's, those names, places, and dates. And,
right.
and really don't look to the power of genealogy for, you know, a better understanding of themselves and the people that came before them. And, you know, I think, one of my most recent articles, stemmed from, why people do the things they do. And, you know, to be able to understand why some of our family members and ancestors have done, you know, some things, and at the end of the day empowers us as people to be able to, you know, forgive and not forget, but forgive, and, you know, to really you know, really bridge some major understandings. Now, when you work with kids on genealogy projects, you know, and this is going to bring me over to something that you and I need to talk to on the side, because I'm working on something that I think this may indeed have something in common for both of us. But how do you get these kids started? You know, what is the first thing that you, when you say to a child and you're starting to get them interested in the project, what is the first thing you ask them to do?
I generally think the smartest way to start is to say, we're going to write your life story. You know, you're 12 years old and you have a life story. And you need to tell who you are, where you came from, where you were born. The facts are important. Where you grew, you know, where you've been growing up. Who's in your family, what matters to you. And, you know, I've called the story of me. And I think, again, that helps the child see themselves as more than just in a nuclear family. It's sort of, I connect to the world. I go back generations. I hope to go forward generations. But I think telling their own story helps them understand the whole process of what you're trying to do, which is gather facts and also bring together more than just the facts in describing someone. And so they sit down and I say, you know, here are the particular facts you need to write about, and then talk about, you know, what are the customs and rituals in your lives? How do you celebrate a birthday? What do you do on weekends? Are you religious? What do you practice? Really tell me the story of who you are. And from there, I think for a lot of kids, you know, gather artifacts, you know, whether it's a birth certificate or, you know, the photograph from your, that great party you had. So that I think is a great starting point. It's very centered in the child's experience, but it also is the beginning of research.
And I don't know about you, but I know that when I was in school, I was not a very good researcher. I mean, I don't know what I was really interested in at the time. Now, you know, when I go and think back, you know, other than, you know, my social pecking order or something within the school system or my high school sorority or my sports
right.
or whatever. I really came to a whole re-enlightening period of my life. And, you know, now that I think back, I don't remember a whole lot because I really wasn't paying attention. And
right.
it's very interesting. My brother is about 7 to 8 years younger than me. And he had a lot more contact with my maternal grandmother than I did. And I need to get him recorded because he has
yeah.
some stories that he got from her or they shared that I missed.
Yeah.
Because she was not living with us at the time that I was living at home. So there's just an incredible wealth of information, and every once in a while he'll bring something up and I'll look at him crazy like, I didn't know that.
Right.
You know, that's an amazing story. I mean, there's some stories, you know, that you know, he would tell that my grandmother told him about my mother. And, I mean, I just, they're funny. They're howling. I mean, one of them has me reminding me of Lucille Ball. That it would be, you know, this particular incident would be something that Lucille Ball would have done.
Sure.
Not my mother. So it actually portrayed to me my mother in a whole different light.
Actually, yes, that's a very good point. But that's a very important point because you do find out about your parents from the grandparents too, and that's a very good point. It also, you know, you also remind me that for most of us, for so many of us anyway, grandparents, one particular grandparent or some other older relative, often have this, you know, disproportionate impact on our lives. We have memories as a child of a special relationship with one of them, and I think creating the opportunity for them to relate in this different fashion, older relatives with your children, I think opens up that possibility even more. So it gives both a picture, what was my mom like as a child? You know, tell me, was she ever bad? I mean, that kind of stuff is fabulous for the kids to hear. And then, of course, they lord it over you when they come back from the interview. But I also think you're opening up even more the possibility of something special going on intergenerationally between the younger kids, between the children and their grandparents and grand relatives.
You know, it really is. It's fascinating. And, you know, we spend so much time, and our kids spend so much time going to movies and listening to stories about other
yeah.
people. And,
right.
you know, it's become part of our culture. And the biggest story of their lives and that has probably the most, you know, humor and the most laughter and can create the biggest tears of the stories that come from their own lives. And,
exactly.
You know, those of us, I mean, I was watching a TV show the other night with Angelina Jolie and how she's dealing with these children who are growing up in these refugee camps in Africa. And, I mean, you know, you just, you know, and the interviewer, and I can't remember which one it was, whether it was Anderson Cooper or Larry King, but, you know, they said, well, does this make you feel different about your children, and what do you want to do with your children, you know, and how do you want them to better
right.
understand?
Right.
And, you know, her comment I thought was very, very interesting is that I want my children to see the world as it is, and I want them to have compassion, and I want them to, you know, really, really understand, you know, what goes on in this world, and that we are just one people when you really look at it. And that, I think, is very interesting. One of the things I wanted to talk a little bit about too is how, you know, using genealogy as a way to understand or better understand the death of a direct relative, you know, or a sibling or someone along those lines is that, you know, when you deal with genealogy, I mean, you're dealing with death. I mean, it's, you know, you're dealing with dead people. I mean, let's just face it. And you're collecting dead people. And most of the dead people are people that you never met and you don't know.
Right.
But from time to time, you know, you do run into situations where, you know, the
right.
person that dies is really more you know, has been more into your life. And, you know, one of the things that I have noticed, and I mean, granted, I'm a lot older today than I was, but, you know, one of the things that I've noticed is that, you know, dealing with death is becomes a whole different perspective when you deal with it with genealogy as a modality than when you deal with it as just a person without, you know, this factor of running around collecting dead people and running through cemeteries and things like that.
Right. Well, one of the things that I think, again, is very powerful for children is to realize that all of our lives are documented, all of our lives have impact, and when you start researching your ancestors, you discover that. When I sat in an LDS library, was looking through microfilm, this is going back 20 years, and I found the birth certificate of my great-great-grandfather and the signature of his father, first of all, emotionally, it was so powerful. I couldn't believe I was looking at a document, and this was of somebody who was born before Abraham Lincoln was president, you know, and was not born in this country, he was born in Poland. And there's something spiritual and amazing about that. And the fact that I could find him, you know, to go to the spiritual thing again, in a way I feel like you're saving lives. You're not keeping people alive physically. But, you know, Abraham Fedulovich's name had not been uttered probably in 100 years. And here I was, knowing something about him, seeing his signature on a birth certificate, you know, so there was something special about that. And I think for children, when they see the fact that we all leave imprints, when they see the fact that our lives affect others, are registered by others, I think it's a part of helping them understand the larger way of the world and the fact that, when someone dies, they're no longer accessible in that immediate way. But, you know, by writing, by remembering, by recording and documenting that person's life, you are holding on to something. And I think that that's important. I think that that is meaningful to kids.
And to adults, if people would would look at it from that perspective. I think people have said, yeah, I thought I've lost my marbles here over the last 6 months. That's okay. I think I'll be harping on it enough over the next 6 months that maybe we'll get the picture. Because it's not, I mean, we're talking about children and kids. And all we're doing is we're talking about people who are in a younger age bracket. We can all say that we're all kids, and it really reflects the same thing no matter what age kid you are. As we become more aware at whatever age it is, because everybody becomes aware at different ages. I mean, I know that I was a very late bloomer. And there are people that I've talked to who, you know, had this itch, you know, when they were 6 and 10 and 12 years old. Not many, but some.
Right.
And, you know, they seem, you know, I mean, they've had a little bit more experience at it over these many years and seem to be, in my opinion, a little wiser and, for it. Because, you know, it by understanding people and understanding all of these things that we've been talking about over the last, you know, 30, 40 minutes, you know, is really wisdom. And we can learn from the mistakes that we learn about that others have made. We can, learn. I mean, it's a learning process, and that's what life is all about. My opinion is every day is a new lesson in life.
I think that it is, to go back to interviews again, because I think those are so important. You know, every genealogist says, I wish I'd only interviewed this person if I'd only realized how much I'd lost by not talking to them about their lives. I think for kids, one of the things that's also so important about doing that interview is that they see the person in more than the two dimensions. You know, we're so busy in our lives. Everybody kind of knows, oh, yeah, that's this person, that's this person, that's this person. I know who they are. I know what they do. But when you really take the time to sit down and talk to someone and ask them about What was your childhood like? What were your aspirations? What was the biggest mistake you ever made? When you ask them these interesting questions, kids learn patience, I hope, because, you know, one of the key things in interviewing is to shut up. You know, is to stop at some point and let the other person talk. And they also get to see a person in the round. They get to understand that we all have strengths, weaknesses, we've all made mistakes, we all have vulnerability. You know, it takes it into a much deeper dimension. And I think that that's a wonderful benefit. And in Climbing Your Family Tree, I talk enormous amount about that personal thing. Because again, the statistics are important, the records are important, they can be very moving. But what really is, who are the people, what were they like, what traits did they have, what struggles did they have, how did they overcome? You know, those are the rich pieces of genealogy that make it something we all love.
And also, too, it builds respect.
Yes.
And respect for themselves, and respect for their parents, and respect for other family members throughout the course of the whole process. I mean, it's an amazing modality. I keep going back to the fact that it's just one that is, you know, really not seen as the vitality and, you know, of what it really could do to our kids and really what it could do to how these kids, when they become adults, can be able to make changes in the way that our world, you know, functions. You know, I think maybe we're beginning to see some of this as some new leadership takes place. But, you know, on the whole, it's just, it's mind-boggling what can happen. And, you know, they claim, and I mean, my last guest that I had on, you know, last week, Dr. Jude Kuravan and her book Cosmos, which, you know, really looks at, you know, quantum physics and the whole paradigm shift of consciousness that you know, everybody seems to be moving towards, I think, in the age of Aquarius that we're in, is, you know, how powerful this tool could be to build that shift. I mean, it's... one of the things that she mentioned last week is, you know, our ancestors are coming to us. They want to help us. They want to educate us. They want us to build better lives for the future generations. They want us to learn from their mistakes. They want us to. And, you know, how better way to do all these things than to begin to empower the kids of today into beginning to see things in a much, you know, broader stroke. And kids today, because of the internet and because of the media and because of the exposure to the information age, really have the ability to process this information better than any generation that came before them.
You know, one of the advantages, I think, to in getting your child interested in, or getting any child interested in this, is that you may end up with an assistant in your genealogical search who can do things a lot faster and better than you can. But I would say for everybody who's listening to your show, it is really important to think about, because they're undoubtedly adults, think about those kids in their lives. And, you know, it's not so much about, okay, let's sit down and start tracing the history. It's really about sharing your past. It's really about talking about the objects in your house that have historical meaning, that they connect to other generations, telling stories about people, sharing the past in a respectful way, because then you're weaving into it, you're weaving into their lives the importance of understanding, respecting, preserving the past. And then, you know, talking your family history, finding your family tree, I give a lot of examples of ways that kids can get interested, creating scrapbooks, you know, all kinds of different documentation. But the key thing is to really begin to recognize how important it is to share all that past stuff with kids in a lively way. Show them photographs, sing songs, you know, bring out the trombone that grandpa used to play, you know, really bring to life in those three dimensions that will be an important piece of laying the foundation for future genealogists.
You know, it's very interesting that you mentioned that, because one of the things that my father used to bring forth, and I mean, you know, this is dating us, was the wire recorder. You remember those?
Ah.
And he had interviews with his...
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, and, you know, on these, you know, on this wire recorder. And, you know, I could shoot myself in the foot and everywhere else for, you know, not getting those things dubbed down while there was a chance to do it. But it was so very interesting. And, I mean, and, you know, and as we were growing up and got even more so in today's world, it's the, you know, the videos and the 8mm films of, you
right.
know, us walking around the, you know, in our little bathing suits and sitting on our grandfather's knees and, you know, those funny looks with that, you know, because of the speed of the film, you know.
Yep.
And, you know, it really is, you know, a masterpiece. And then it's all about figuring out ways to best share the information, too.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's one thing to preserve it, but, you know, to be able to make it a project where, you know, whether it's a scrapbook or a DVD or some kind of way of, you know, taking this information and putting it into, it's like writing a visual paper.
You know, it's just, kids are so good at this. If you look at kids' Facebook pages, if you look at, you know, the sorts of things they decorate and put together, if you look at the projects they do for school, these kids are wired and do amazing things. They are unbelievably creative, and they are hooked into all these tools that we never had. We had scissors and glue. You know, they've got ways of shooting. So, you know, kids are expert at creating incredible web material, you know, taking raw materials and turning them into something really wonderful. And why not, you know, they could do great projects about their own lives and about their family lives very easily. So you're right. And there are so many ways to share on the Internet. Oh, my God. You know, so it's a challenge that I think will really give kids something exciting to do, and they can share it in a way that benefits everybody in the family. One other thing I think is important to say is, think of the sense of self that a child gets when he's 12 years old and he goes to a family party and he pulls out what he found, or he talks about the project he did on the family, and he shows the adults things that they don't know. I mean, I just think it is such a great vehicle. That's another way, of course, to share, which is, you know, make sure when you go to family events that the child who's been doing some of this brings it with him. But I think kids can really get excited about it and can share in innovative ways if we, again, get them, you know, share the things with them so that they get them started.
And the other thing, too, is that it's such a delightful project with that can be done across not only generations, but with cousins and other
right.
family members and siblings and, you know, that they can help, you know, bring those family members together in a unique and quality way. You know, I'm having more contact right now with some of my first cousins on Facebook than I've had in the last 30 years.
Right, right. Think of the amazing wiki that the kids could create, you know, working with relatives around the world to document and tell the story of the family. I mean, again, I work in educational publishing. The things that I see that kids deliver to us through the Internet are astonishing. So, you know, here's an avenue, again, it's for creativity, but it's creativity about my story and my family's story. I think most kids would get excited about that. You know, presented in the right way, I think it's a home run.
So, let's talk about ways that maybe this, you know, we could get people more interested in this. I mean, this is
right.
This has been a fascinating thing for me, and it's something that I've been wanting to do. I can't, you know, since I can't remember how long it's been since I really wanted to find ways to, you know, build, you know, a means for this to become part of, whether it's part of our educational system, whether it's part of the religious system, whether it's just part of a new wave of possibilities that we can garner interest in, is, you know, is it something our government needs to be looking at? I mean, is it something that we need to, you know, really start getting our education system involved from the national and state levels? How do you, you know, your book is a start, but, you know, how do we really begin to get the masses to embrace this as you and I see it?
Well, you know, one thing, as we mentioned earlier, when I wrote Climbing a Family Tree, I wrote it originally 18 years ago, and when I revised it in the last 5 or so years, I found that a lot of people were concerned about adoption and other issues, you know, with the international adoption that have happened, other things like that, and a lot of adoptive families dread the idea of, oh, my kid's going to do a family tree. What I did in Climbing Your Family Tree was address that head on and say, you know what, if a kid's adopted, you can talk about this. This is not something to be afraid of. The adopted child, first of all, most adoptive families, they're talking about this early on anyway, because that's prevailing wisdom. But, you know, there are ways. Genealogy is not about, again, this is my bloodline. It is about, where do I come from? Who am I? Who shaped me, and who shaped and what shaped the people I love? So I think, you know, and in Climbing Your Family Tree, I do a lot of stuff. There are alternative family trees. There are lots of ways to make kids comfortable, whatever the family background is. And the reason I think this is important is that I think some educational institutions and some families shy away from the whole issue and really dread it because they're afraid it's going to bring up, you know, feelings of exclusion. Everybody gets the pedigree chart. I don't have a pedigree, you know. A story that was very dramatic to me was a teacher in my younger son's school who said, I got to talk to you. I love your book, but I had a big problem. This mother adopted, single mother adopted a daughter from Russia. And, you know, when the daughter brought the pedigree home and the mother said, well, you know, we don't have that information. She said, well, I guess I have half a family. And, you know, the mother was infuriated. And then they went on to talk about, well, who are you? Where do you come? Who are the people who matter to you? And they created something called a family flower. They put Natasha in the middle as the sort of, you know, the bullseye of the flower, and they put in petals all around her on this chart, her mother, her mother's parents, and other people who were relatives, people she loved, friends. That gave the kid a sense of belonging, you know, so I feel really passionate about this because I think there's too much fear of, you know, we all come from somewhere and we're all shaped by people. So I think that that's one thing that's really important, that be confronted and that everyone be made to feel comfortable. 30 years ago, the feeling was African Americans, could they really have a history? Well, the fact is, everyone has a history. Roots showed us that, but even more so, everyone, no matter where you are, we should not be afraid of that. Beyond that, I think we need to let the schools know that this matters. You know, I think parents need to say to teachers that they've done it in the home, that they've taught their kids respect for the past and they've shared family things, and they want to see more of it. You know, I'm not sure what exactly will be a breakthrough in doing this, but I do think as we have become this diverse society, I think that there is more interest in, wow, where do all these people come from? You know, wow, what are their stories? And I think that teachers need to bring it out, and I'm hopeful that more and more people, again, because the internet has made us so aware of our interconnectedness, to go back to one of the points you made, I think people are more open to it now. I think that there's a lot of ways for us to share this information, and I'm hopeful that, you know, giving kids the excitement and the permission to do it will help bring it more and more to the forefront.
And, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that because, I mean, I have to laugh, is that my mother was adopted.
Oh, really?
I have no clue. I've been searching for all these years and let's put it this way. I have a clue. I know the name she gave to the judge. Yeah, at the time the adoption was made in Chicago in 1929. There's nobody that exists by that name that I can find anywhere, but, you know, whether it was a real name or not. And I have a brother who's adopted. And, you know, one of the things that we talk about, you know, in on the spiritual side of, you know, where genealogy and spirit connect, are two things. You know, we talk about our physical DNA, but there's also a spiritual DNA.
Absolutely.
And the spiritual DNA really is as important as the physical DNA. And
right.
The spiritual DNA is really what's passed down and what makes us the people that we are. You know,
right.
And especially for those of us who, you know, cannot follow our bloodlines. And, you know, the cellular memory that people talk about, which is, again, a whole nother, concept, part and parcel, is that, you know, anything that happens to us, it, you know, is becomes part of us for the rest of our lives.
Right.
And it
right.
doesn't have to be physical, and it doesn't have to be, you know, our family bloodline tree. What it,
right.
it is, as you bring up, is the importance of knowing who we are and what molds us both at our spiritual level, at our cellular level, and at our physical level. So, you know, you really need to take genealogy, in my opinion, you know, into a, and again, going back to my conversation with Dr. Kuravan and on her book Cosmos, is really genealogy is more holographic than anybody would even begin to think, because it makes up our mind, body, and spirit.
Right.
And
absolutely.
That is really the whole holographic process of our whole universe. If you get into, you know, quantum physics and Albert Einstein, who probably was one of the most intuitive individuals on this planet when it comes to understanding ourselves and understanding how the world works. But, you know, it really, you know, maybe we need to take genealogy, now my little brain's flying all over the place, into more of the holographic study instead of a linear study. And I just am having these interesting brain synapses going off here as we speak.
You're firing.
I am. I mean, you know, it's beginning. Everything is beginning to make sense to me, and on a whole different level. So it is. I mean, it is a holographic process of learning about ourselves and learning about our families, and you know, not to whet the audience's appetite here, but. You and I need to have a little chat about something I'm working on. I think that we may have some opportunities to take this where I think we want it to go, and to find ways to get people to and families to begin to use genealogy for all the things that we've really discussed in this last hour, which, believe it or not, is almost done. It's amazing how fast these things go. You know, one of the things that I think, you know, we haven't really, you know, talked about, you know, that I think is really interesting too is empathy. Is that the more and more we learn about ourselves and other people, you know, the more feelings and empathy that we have for each other and for you know, understanding, you know, what others go through from time to time and difficult times or all kinds of possible, you know, heartache and horrific, situations that come to pass. So, you know, again, it's I think our children are ready. I think the problem is us. Wouldn't you say?
I agree 100%. And again, I think anybody interested in genealogy who doesn't turn around from looking at the past and look down at that child in the household and say, I have a gift. I have this information. I have this whole rich background. I give this gift to my child and get him or her involved early. I'm also giving a gift to the future because I'm going to have somebody who's going to care about this stuff. You know, if we do this work and we show our children it has value, they will be more inclined to carry it on, not to throw it out. You know, I mean, I think it is so important that people who revere the past also understand the value of sharing it with their family and their children, as well as with compiling documents. You know, genealogy is not ultimately a test in which you get the highest grade if you get the most names. It's, as we've been saying, about feelings, people, history, who we are, how we became who we are, who we're becoming.
And wouldn't you say, too, that this learning process would also be passed on to the parents that may not have even begun to think about it from this level either? So the benefits are not just for the children. It's for
the whole
family. It's for everyone. I mean, the benefits are abounding for everybody that gets involved. And, you know, from my perspective and being a genealogist and having become, I guess, a spiritualist at the same time over these last 27 years and understanding myself, there is no bigger gift that we can give to anybody and to ourselves than a better understanding and of ourselves and others. And that's really where genealogy, I think, fits into this picture. Ira, it has been a delight. And one of the things that I'm beginning to do, and I will mention it, again, your book is Climbing Your Family Tree, Online and Offline Genealogy for Kids. It's available, I believe, on Amazon, correct?
Yep, absolutely, and in fine bookstores.
And in fine bookstores. And also, too, I am creating groups on my website if people come and want to ask questions about the topic of this this program. And my name is Susan King, and I'm your host of Where Genealogy and Spirit Connect. We have another exciting hour coming to you next week. We have Terry Porter, who is a medium, and you know, we laugh sometimes when we talk about mediums because many people are skeptics. But, you know, mediums talk to dead people, and I think that a lot of us have a lot of this in us. I think a lot of genealogists actually have a lot of it in us. We just refuse to admit it. In any event, we will see you next Tuesday. Again, my website is www.susaneking.com. This is Where Genealogy and Spirit Connect.